The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. It's Thanksgiving week here on Your Money with David Hayes and all over the place. I have Black Friday coming up. How exciting is that? Thanksgiving this year for me is going to be a little bit weird because Mom, who we always go to her house, isn't feeling very good. So I think we're going to have to postpone. So maybe for the first time in my entire life, we weren't trying to pick to go here over that place or have it at my house hosting. We may be at my house with just me, my wife, and my son, and that might be okay because we could get an early jump on Christmas decorations and things like that. Doug Hughes is with me again this week in studio. Doug, what's your big plans for Thanksgiving?
Well, we are going to go up and see my father and my sister and be with their family tomorrow for the afternoon, so looking forward to being with them.
You're not going
to
cook anything, right?
I'm not going to cook anything, no.
That's
no.
For the better of everybody.
That's the for goodness, the better, yeah, for
waste everybody.
Waste of time and
well,
resource.
We're going to have a fun show today, kind of light in topic as we are in a holiday week. I don't even know if this will play on Thursday night as we're recording on Wednesday because NFL football. I probably could look at the board and tell you, but I'm too – well, what is today's date? I don't know if we're playing or not. I think – yeah, we'll figure it out. If it's on, it's on. If it's not, it's not. It'll be on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. before the Hoosiers kick off against Purdue. And then it'll always be on WGCORadio.com as well and on your favorite place to grab your podcast. All right, let's talk a little bit about last week in review. Of course, stocks edged lower last week as it kind of digested a cross current of conflicting economic data. We had contrasting comments from Fed officials. The Dow, S&P, NASDAQ all were pretty flat for the week. Wasn't a big week moving either way. Stocks did take a spill after Fed official comments cast uncertainty about the future rate hikes. That's all we've talked about, I feel like, for the last, 6 months now. The more hawkish comments soured hopes of any kind of I wish it was an intimate easing. That would be a very nice way to talk about that. Anyway, an easing in Fed rate hikes, that prospect helped fuel the market rally the previous week. So anyway, Doug, we did have concerns over the what they refer to as hawkish comments, meaning, hey, we're going to keep doing this from the Fed members. And we had some weak housing data. We had some layoff announcements from major technology companies. So the economic picture, however, included some encouraging news as retail sales, believe it or not, rose and producer price index actually moderated somewhat. That means the price of things that the producers have to pay for to produce what they produce. So, you know, things are sort of at that point where you don't really know where exactly things are going to head, but we still think that there's more pain ahead than there is promise from an economic standpoint. But keep in mind, Doug, and you can comment on this, the stock market and the economy, although connected, are two totally different things.
Absolutely. There are always going to be companies, David, that have been undervalued, that their earnings are going to do well, that are going to continue to move forward. And, you know, the market office obviously moves on different sets of circumstances than just the economy. And so when we think about sometimes great economies and weak stock markets, we haven't experienced that in a while, but that happens. But we're so focused with recency bias. We mm-hmm. always look at what happened the last 10 years and think the next 10 years are going to be the same. Well, the last 10 years, really, no matter what's happened, the market has gone up. It's been led by U.S. companies, typically large cap and primarily tech. But the next 10 years may be very different. I mean, we might be sitting down here in 2032 looking back and saying, wow, it was international stocks that outperform U.S. We don't anticipate that, but you never know. It could happen.
Yeah, you have to be well-diversified and knowing that the market could move well ahead of where the economy currently sits.
Right.
And then you look at the Wall Street Journal today, on this Wednesday that I'm recording, home sales to investors slide 30% in the last quarter. That's huge.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you see a picture of travel surge gets an early start for Thanksgiving holiday. They're packed in there at the airport. So people are out moving around, spending money. You have Iger back at Disney as well.
Yeah, and you know there's a lot of excitement. I think the stock was up 6% the day following that. People are saying that what a great job he did, but the thing he did wrong, and I bring this up only because he probably won't do this the second time around. They say with all the things he did right, the one thing he didn't get right was a succession plan, and therefore the person who followed him had, you know, obviously the issues that Disney's had in the last few years. But they're thinking that this time around he won't mistake the succession plan, that it's he's going to right the ship and he's going to do a good succession plan the next time.
They say that it was the mentality of Disney kind of lost its spirit.
Right.
And I don't disagree with that. I think a lot of times these companies stick their nose where they don't belong. You know, just stay in your lane.
Stay in your
lane. Provide incredible content that's very entertaining. Stream this, do that. But you don't have to take a stance on stuff. Let people individually take a stance on that. I always said, a company's not a person, right? There's no heart. There's no pulse. There's no soul. So they really should not have an opinion. The people work in the company can certainly have whatever opinion they want, and we need to respect all that. So I think what happened was Disney got over their skis a little bit in a lot of areas, and the old boy's back, so we'll see where it goes from there. I've supported Disney this year. We were there once, and I think Angela in our office has been there maybe 100 times
this year. That could be. Well, you know, there's an old saying about stocks, and Rod talks about this from time to time on the radio show here. Don't love something that can't love you back.
That's my saying.
And, okay, that's you that said that. I'm sorry. I thought
Rod
said
that. I take credit for every saying.
Okay,
you know that.
Well, you know, when you think of people get very attached to particular companies, and for good reason, but at the end of the day, the leadership could change and their positions could change, and you just never really know. So it's you don't love something that can't love you back, or that might change pretty dramatically on you.
I have a bunch of sayings, as you well know. You have a lot, too. But one is, you know, when tying in, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. Mm-hmm. It's better to have made it and paid it than to have never made it at all. That's how you have to refer to as taxes, right?
Taxes.
If I paid no tax, I probably didn't make any money. But if you made some money, you paid some tax. So it's better to have paid it and made it than to have never made it at all. Last thing before we take a quick break. Last week, you and I talked about the seven things you needed to do in the decade before you retire, kind of that home stretch. It actually was a piece from Franklin Templeton that we went through, just highlighted a few things, and evidently it struck a chord with several of you out there, and we offered to send you this 20-page PDF of the seven things you need to do in the decade before you retire. So I have it in my hand. We've scanned it and sent it to a handful of people that asked for it, so if you'd like a copy of it, just email us at cfci.us and contact us and tell us you want the home stretch and we'll send it to you.
I got to tell you, really good year-end idea. Now, I know we're going to talk about some gift giving, and this may seem a little bit strange, but boy, that 20-page PDF just handed to someone who's in that final stretch might not be a bad idea. It's just something for someone to work on between now and the end of the year.
And
a lot
free.
Of good information. Yeah, it's free,
price
but there's
right.
a lot of really good information.
You might stick a Dick's gift card with it or a... You know,
absolutely
something with it instead of that. All right, when we come back, a little bit on inflation before we get into the gift giving ideas here with Doug Hughes, and it's really about thinking about inflation in a different way. How can you make inflation work for you, not against you? When we come back, we're going to discuss that. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Doug, for years you love to talk about inflation, the different ways to track inflation, personal inflation rates, but we never really had a chance to see in the last many decades how inflation can truly impact your everyday life. So I think there's certainly things that are bad about inflation. Maybe your income doesn't keep up with your expenses, but you can control your own personal inflation rate. Buy this, not that. Do this, not that. You and I were talking about that coming into the studio. We're going to go on a cruise in February. We were looking at two different rooms, right? One was more expensive than the other, and I told Angela, let's take this one, the less expensive one. But, you know, if I wasn't feeling maybe pinches in other areas, I might say, what the heck, let's go ahead and take that junior suite, right? So you have a choice.
Exactly.
To control your personal maybe instead of driving to town to get that 1 gallon of milk, I decide in collectively things that I need to do while I'm in town and do it all at one time.
Exactly. Well, and you know, I'm happy to say this, and I'll say it on the radio. I'll get a lot of grief from the office around this, but I was inflation before inflation was cool. Truthfully, I've been the one talking about this for years, and everyone rolled their eyes. But the reality is, David, that inflation creeps into so many different areas. And there is, like all things financially, whether it's investing, your savings rate, there are things you can control and things you can't control.
Right.
What you're talking about are things we can control. You can decide whether you drink a water at dinner or drink a Diet Coke in my particular case. That is a $2.50 to $3 decision.
Well, think about the glass of wine. I had two glasses of wine last night at the country club, and I think they're $12 a piece, right? That's $24.
Yeah, it's a $24
versus
decision.
A free water.
Exactly right. And so you do that a few times.
I could drink
week.
The water in a wine glass and maybe have the same placebo effect. But
well, exactly right. People might look around and think, "Look at him; he's drinking white wine. It's awfully clear." but my point is this: to your point about personal inflation rate, it truly is something you can control. We don't want to think that because we like our lifestyle. But the reality is you can begin to just take a step back and look at the way you're spending. I'm not going all Dave Ramsey on here with people. I'm just saying there are things you can do to cut back and help avoid some of the cost of inflation. But let me give you one you can't control. I just went down to see my mom last weekend. And what's happened down there is she lives in a condominium type community.
Put down Hilton Head.
In Hilton Head. And the HOA fees went up 30%. And what they're citing is the hurricanes and inflation. There's nothing she can do about that unless she can sell and move on. But when you're in an HOA or homeowners insurance now is beginning to creep up, you're beginning to see it. And these things you cannot necessarily control just due to inflation.
Yeah, I mean, food, utilities, HOA fees. I mean, those are things you can't control, but there's other aspects of your life that you certainly can control.
Yes. So it's both sides of it.
You think, I mean, it's kind of funny because I go back and think about the Great Recession in 2008, right?
Yeah.
Companies use that as an excuse to do everything because they could.
Sure.
Right? They could cut benefits. They could cut pay. They could cut people. They could, renege on a lease. I mean, they were doing all kinds of things because they were using the backdrop of the Great Recession as, we have to. Now it's like people are somewhat hiding behind inflation. It's like,
we're
raising the prices because of inflation,
right?
We're doing this because of inflation. Like, blame everything on Putin and inflation, right?
There you go.
Why not? All right.
So, it's easy to push blame around, right?
Yeah,
it's easy to push it around.
But so making inflation work for you, not against you. I was thinking about this. Let's say your mortgage. Let's say you stretched this year, you bought a house, maybe your mortgage payment's $2,000. Well, if you have 4% inflation, that $2,000 in 18 years is going to feel like $1,000 today.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of making inflation work for you, not against you. And by the way, your house value is probably going up because of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Other things you can think about, if you're buying things that do not go up with inflation, you're going backwards. You know, if you have dollars in your drawer, it's going backwards.
Spending power going backwards.
So that's working against you. But working for you are buying things that go up when inflation's mm-hmm. high. So whenever we talk about stocks or real estate or commodities, anything that actually is owning will participate in the inflationary run.
Yes.
If you're loaning, it's working against yourself. So, but if you're borrowing at a fixed rate for a long period of time, it works for you. So
mm-hmm.
just kind of flip your mindset around the fact that there are things that you can do in your life that inflation works for you, not against you.
Sure, absolutely.
And position your own self to participate in a good way with inflation and control your areas that you can control to avoid spending it. Maybe you eat hamburger instead of sirloin.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, Duggar.
Yeah.
Historically, we have had Mr. Jim Inman Jr. on the show, but
we miss him today.
He doghoused me.
Uh-oh.
He couldn't make it because he's always so great about doing this show.
Yeah.
And so we have a little bit of a pared-down version of the gift-giving show.
Okay.
Now, you'll be listening to this show either on Thanksgiving evening, Saturday morning, but regardless, we're going to fire back up the Christmas time, spending, gift-giving.
Sure.
So we have been able to put together a list of things, ideas, that have a kind of a financial theme to them that we're going to go through. Some things are maybe highly impactful, low cost, and then maybe there's things that are high cost and low impact, like my wife's purse that I'm likely to buy her for Christmas. Oh, geez. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, this is Your Money with David Hayes. okay, in some ways, guys, this is going to be a show of do what I say, not what I do, just so you know. That's my caveat.
That's the lead in.
We're going to start off with kids and kids and money, because we always want to teach our kids how to handle money properly, how to make it, how to save it, how to spend it, how to give it, right? Those are the things you do with money. You got to make it first, right? And you think about, okay, what can you do to help a kid sort of get off on the right foot? And whether it's from an investment standpoint or just how to manage money standpoint, because they don't teach this stuff in school, right? It's our responsibility as parents or grandparents, friends, whatever it might be, to teach them. Now, have I taught my son all what I need? No. No, I haven't. And I've paid for that. I've paid for that by, you know, I mean, you and I grew up similar, right? Without, we didn't have a lot growing up. And then when you have a few things, the tendency is to want to give your kid the things you never had. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a vacation, whether it's a car to drive, whether it's nice, you know, fancy shoes or a watch or whatever it might be. Yes, our kids are freaking spoiled. We get that. But the bottom line is, Duggar, that you can do some basic things early and often that will help teach your kids. And you've told me this, and I've read about this, that things that you do in moderation, folks, your kids
Children
may
do
in excess. So
yes.
If you do something in what you believe is moderation, they may do it in excess. And that could be in good behaviors, and it can certainly be in bad behaviors. So, Doug?
Well, I think, David, that one of the things that that you can do for a young person, there's a couple ideas out here, actually, and I would say that, you know, there's kids and then there's teenagers, which are still kids, but kids, we use the savings bank. You know, you have a little bank that you give, save, enjoy, kind of a piggy bank mm-hmm. for little kids that when they get, you know, money and have, if I don't even know if kids get cash or piggy banks anymore, but it was, you know, it was always give, save, and enjoy. That a third, a third, a third. That was always a gift, and I got that for Daniel when he was young. There's lots of little, you know, money saving tips and trinkets and things like that that are out there for kids. But I want to share one thing that might be an idea for a teenager, and this might be a teenager that's coming up in high school and maybe, you know, this is just maybe something that they'd be interested in if they're a bit intimidated or trying to have thoughts about where they're going in life. You know, you can buy one of these tests that you can buy them on crown.org. Different places have them that kind of help you narrow what you might be good at in life as far as a career path. And so, you know, that might be a gift to give someone this year, is the opportunity to take a test that might help with a career path. Now, I'm very quirky. I'm very nerdy, so that may seem like a really strange gift.
Well,
but it's
I
a kind
think
of gift you look back at and say, man, that was meaningful.
Well, think about my son. He's 21, going to be 22 in December. You know, he's struggling with his path. Like, what mm-hmm. does he really want to do? And maybe having a test like that could give him a little bit of clarity.
Yeah.
You know, you can always open a 529 college savings plan for a kid, right? That's not something that they're going to benefit from right now, but it's something over time they can benefit from. Maybe you open up a brokerage account and talk to them about, hey, you know what? Tell them about, hey, did you know you could own this company?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and let's
and
own
help,
it.
And allow them to help you, allow them to help you pick out the stock.
And let's, if you're close to them, maybe you could have a discussion with them. Hey, did you see how that's doing? Mm-hmm. And read a little article about it and get them kind of fired up
get
and excited about
that. Get them used to looking
that.
At broker statements.
One of the things that I look back on and think about, okay, what really was my mindset about money when I was a kid? And obviously, we didn't have much, but we loved to play board games. Mm-hmm. And I swear, I have never been beat in Monopoly.
Really?
Never.
Do I feel a CFC
Monopoly
night coming on?
Well, the key to Monopoly is buy everything.
Okay.
Buy everything.
Okay.
And then sort it out later. Because, and I learned that early on, and I've kind of, as you well know, I've sort of lived my life that way. Like, just buy it all. I mean, I'm talking about assets. Buy assets. Then figure it out later. Because then later on, I might head to dog trade for something, or horse trade's the right word, right? Yeah. I wouldn't trade my dogs for anything.
Right.
But horse trade for something, or you have to hawk it, right? You have to turn it over, or maybe have to sell something. And then at the end, you own a really great portfolio that just wrecked people when they landed on it.
That's right.
And that's the way I play Monopoly. But when I was 8 or 9 or 10, I mean, that's how I kind of, my mindset about Monopoly. And, you know, you know through writing my book, the 2025 Final Drive, the whole first chapter is about my why. Like, I think I figured out, like, why is it, why do I love doing this? Why is it so important to me? And a lot of it was growing up the way we did. But the thing that I've reflected on lately is it was the Monopoly game. So even though it's not maybe that cool to do a Monopoly game anymore, get it out, have some time, play all day. There's a game called Cash Flow. There's the stock market game that you can buy.
The game Life. Remember that one where you'd spend it and
yeah.
the next thing you know you'd have
That's great.
A new job or you have to move or you had a child. And it's just life.
Did you go to school? Did you not go to school? Did you have kids? All that kind of stuff. The one thing that I love, and you can still do this, is, you could buy something and have it at a brokerage account, but what about buying a share of stock to put on your wall?
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at my son. He had Pixar, mm-hmm. which no longer exists, Disney, mm-hmm. which does exist. He has another company. What was it? I think it was Harley Davidson, maybe. All framed, a little tag. I've done that for, and you have plenty of time. If you do it right now,
sure.
you can go on, like, I don't know, you can just Google it, like one share. It used to be giveashare.com, was one I used last year. Almost all the popular companies are there. Some are a little bit obscure. It's cool, though. And then, you can give it to them and say, from your Uncle David or from, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. So, and I know Keith Klein, God rest his soul, that was his most favorite gift idea was giveashare.com.
Yeah.
I have a buddy that's giving my son some cryptocurrency. Of course, we know we do not promote. That's not, you shouldn't use that as a recommendation to buy, sell, own, or anything crypto. But my son enjoys it. He mm-hmm. has it in his wallet and his phone. He shows it to me when it's up, doesn't show it to me when he's down, right? Normal behavior of most people.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. But, Jug, I know you've got all kinds of ideas in your head.
Well, I think about not just financial gifts, but gifts that you're going to look back and it's going to be meaningful over long periods of time. And so, obviously, for someone who is a reader, there's numbers of books out there. I would give you this one. It was probably the best book I read in 2020. Probably 2020 was the year. The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Really an excellent book about just why people do what they do financially. And it's not too academic, but it's very real.
So if someone's listening and you're like, I'm trying to write this down, don't worry about it. We hear something and you want us to send you a list of things we talked about, just again, email us at cfci.us, contact us, just say, hey, book ideas, whatever it is, just let them know. It takes usually a day or two to kind of filter through our system to get to us, but once it does, we'll certainly knock these things out to you. Actually, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we had a bunch of different books and publications that we wanted to offer up as potential ideas, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go through more gift-giving ideas. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Doug, we're going to be decorating my house this year in a fabulous way. I actually have someone coming to help me do it rather than
You're
me.
You're not doing it yourself.
I'll do it some myself, but I'm going to actually have someone that's done this a lot come over and help me do it. So
that outside or inside?
Outside.
Okay.
We'll handle inside fine. So I'm actually going to take off early today on Wednesday after the show. I have one more appointment and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to actually assess everything we have. And I have to report it to the gentleman that's going to come help me.
Okay.
And then tonight or today or something, actually go buy things that need to be in the yard. So hopefully we'll have a fantastic display there in Bella Vista.
Is it going to be synchronized to music?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just out of my wheelhouse, above my pay grade.
But
we'll see.
This gentleman will be able to help you out with that.
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll scare my dogs to death if we have some crazy display that like moves around. So we had a possum in the yard last night. My dogs wouldn't go outside to face the bathroom. So we'll see how that goes.
A little nervous,
So we'll see how it goes. All right, so again, how about a gift that has a financial theme through it? So I can't say enough about Taxes and Retirement, the 2025 The Final Drive. In fact, if you want a book for someone, I would be happy to sign that. And they're $10. And we give all the money to charity. We do every quarter when we get our royalty check, it comes in. So if you'd love to have a book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win, I would be happy to supply that. Once again, cfci.us, contact us, say, I'd like a book, and I will personally write to this person and sign it and all of that. So that is an offer that we want to throw out there. Now, other books, I know we have lots of Dave Ramsey books. You referenced Dave Ramsey earlier. I have material for all different ages and stages of life. Obviously, Ed Slott, I'm a charter member of his elite IRA group. If you go to irahelp.com, find out things that matter the most for you or the person that you are buying for, but there's an entire store you can go into and buy books, buy all kinds of stuff. I was just there looking around as I'm preparing another podcast to record. Actually, I need to do that today before I go do the Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
You know, some of the old books that we've always talked about, you know, Are You a Stock or Are You a Bond? I love that one for business owners. That's
great,
a classic, right?
Owner. Yeah, it really is. The title alone should make you stop in your tracks and think about your personal financial planning. Am I a stock?
Are you an extrovert or introvert?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you a stock or are you a bond?
Let me go back to Dave Ramsey for just one second, because oftentimes he gets pigeonholed into debt reduction, which he probably should have a statue of him up for that. But there's one of his books that's called The Legacy Journey, and I would kind of recommend that to people. It's not just about debt reduction. It's once you've kind of gone through all that process, and it kind of goes through us, or goes through now, then, us, them, and now where are we at financially, when, what does it look like at a specific time, us, who is on the playing field, and them, who the beneficiaries are going to be. And that's a really, it's just a step ahead on the debt reduction stuff. So I would recommend that as something you might pick up for a Dave Ramsey fan, or if you don't necessarily need the debt reduction stuff.
And some other fun things, you know, if you have a dentist, rich dentist, poor dentist, there's lots of books for specific types of business people. The classic Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Millionaire Next Door, Investing for Dummies, Start Late, Finish Rich, of course, a favorite.
The Richest Man in Babylon.
Richest
I read
Man
it
in
every
Babylon.
Year.
I know
December.
You do, which it seems, like you said, you are quirky and odd
I
about things.
I am quirky. It's a tradition. I read. It was one of the first books that I really started reading about personal finance decades ago.
Right.
And I just kind of pick it up and read it.
I know.
You know what? It never changes either, though.
He's not lying. There's a lot of books for kids, and rather than us go through our favorites, you could actually, I just did this, Googled, you know, financial books for kids, and start scrolling, because there's a lot of them. Might spark your interest, maybe a good stocking stuffer, but don't just give it to them. Read it with them, right? That's another thing. What about subscriptions? I love giving subscriptions to things, because then every month, right, when the magazine comes, like the Kiplinger or something like that, or every day that the Wall Street Journal comes, or every weekend, you can just sign up for the Weekend Journal. They think, all right, Doug, I thank you, Doug, for that gift.
Yeah.
Right? You can give me car washes, too. I'll use that just as
Absolutely.
Much. But the Wall Street Journal, best paper on earth, in my opinion. I read it every single day. I literally rarely read every single article, because not everything interests me, but I was on a plane ride back from Las Vegas. We went to the Colts Raiders game, and I had there was no Wi-Fi or anything, and I had the Wall Street Journal, and I literally read every single article in the Wall Street Journal, including the opinion pages, and felt so accomplished after that for some reason.
Yeah.
Oddly accomplished. What else, Doug? I mean, you could do, you know, I mean, I you know, I did this for my niece last year. I paid a debt off for her, a lingering debt. It was just dragging on her. She wasn't getting any headway on it, and I just went and paid it off for her, and that was what I did for her for Christmas.
Here's another one. Hire someone to help someone write their resume. You know, that's something that's kind of forgotten about, but the resume is so important.
And, it's still
and
a thing.
And to have someone help you write it versus you just write it yourself gives you a good perspective.
All right, let's take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to get a few more gift ideas. And then I do have a segment that I do want to stop and talk about creating a legacy, right? So we're going to focus a little more on that later in the show. We'll be right back, though. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, a fun one is metal detectors. We talk about that every year, or you know, these cash registers for kids. They could figure out how to use money. But I remember when my son was like 8 or 9 years old, we would go to Destin, and I mean, he was obsessed with
do that
with,
all day. On, yeah,
and then if he found. A lot of stuff was worthless, but he would maybe occasionally find something like a pair of sunglasses or something that he thought was pretty cool. Coin sets. I used to, like my nieces and nephews, if I had an opportunity to buy them a coin set for the year they were born, you know, you have a dollar, a quarter, a dime, a nickel, and usually they're nice little coin sets, and they're usually less than $25 or something like that. And that could be for, you know, anyone. Like anyone, maybe someone's graduating this year, and they were born in, you know, 2000 and, you know, whatever, two, you could potentially just go buy them a coin set with that vintage.
Sure,
you know,
that's
kind of fun. But there's just a lot of different things like that that I've come up with over the years that I've done personally for people, things that I've seen other people do for other people, and gifts that I've received that I think are pretty cool. And I can go back and tell you the givetheshare.com, giveashare.com is really cool, but you need to do it sooner than later because it does take a little bit of time to make that happen. I love the coin set idea. I love the subscriptions, you know, with the Wall Street Journal or something else like that that you might want to provide for them. I love the different books and tapes and all of that. I did just a lot of really fun ideas that you can come up with that have a financial theme that are both useful, helpful, and, you know, give you some satisfaction in giving that gift. So, Duggar, so what are you going to give me this year?
Well, I have worked on it pretty hard, and I think I've narrowed it down to about three items that are out there that will be of
interest.
Can
I give people an idea of how Hughes gives gifts? So every year in our office, we all have a person that we buy their birthday gift for.
Yeah. We need to do that, by the way. I don't think
I just did that for Kevin. His birthday was the 25th.
Oh, birthdays.
Yeah, birthdays.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we need to do a Christmas exchange. Yeah, we'll get that worked out. So I have a boat. People know I enjoy fishing. And Doug gave me a gift certificate, handwritten, that said, one fishing trip with Doug Hughes. You provide the boat. I'll provide the gas. That's pretty much how Hughes gift goes.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly right.
It's mutually beneficial.
That's right.
Between the
you
two.
Pay the boat payment, I'll pay the gas.
Right. All right, let's take another quick and we'll come back. We just have a few more minutes. Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left, I guess, in today's program. We'll be right. It's your David Hayes. No, it's your money with David Hayes. Hey, you know, there's so many things you can give people, right? And they don't have to be financially related, but this is a financial show, so that's why we kind of go down that rabbit hole. But I was really in a weird mindset the last couple of years, right? About just where we were as in a society, where we were, you know, from an economic standpoint, everything. And I just really, and I'm 52 years old, going to be 53. Have a tremendous legacy, I think, here locally with my great-grandfather, who was the founder of Hayes Market, Jim Hayes. We had my dad on the show last year. I'm hoping to have him on again, which would be right around the last show of the year, on when do you know when it's time to retire. And we pretty much walked through my dad's entire working career, and it was fun. It was kind of emotional. We'll have him back on this year. My great-grandfather on my mom's side, also from here, the Atwood family, Headley family, both of my grandpa and my great-grandfather were Bloomington firefighters. So just a tremendous history here and a wonderful legacy. So I think about that a lot. Like, how do you leave a name that stands for something? Well, I think it comes down to goodness. I think it comes down to kindness. I think it comes down to generosity. And being giving without ever thinking you're going to get anything in return. I mean, you just have to have a mindset like that. And I think that legacy will happen for you. I love when someone will send me a gift and they did it in the memory of someone close, you know, someone that was a family member. You know, every year at the Monroe County Fair, I buy an animal at the 4-H auction in the memory of my great-grandfather, Jim Hayes, the founder of Hayes Market. And I tell this story because it's just pretty profound. But when I first started doing that 25 years ago, it was pretty incredible because I had people cheering. The auctioneer worked for him. Bruce Haley worked for my grandpa. He would tell a story. People would come up and talk about their memories of the store and how generous my great-grandfather was and how he forgave debts for people that didn't have the money to pay for food. And I thought, that's really cool. I mean, so I kept doing it. And I found out that I was actually doing it for myself, not for his memory and his legacy. When did I know that? 20-some years later, again, bought an animal, memory of Jim Hayes, founder of Hayes Market, my great-grandfather. And instead of the claps that we had, the slaps on the backs, the stories that were told 20 years before, it was pretty faint. Bruce Haley had passed away that year, so he was not the auctioneer. There were not that many people that remembered my great-grandfather. I mean, at that point, you know, think 20 years plus, or it was more like 22, 23 years, I literally went home that night and thought, you know what? I've had a pretty good run. I'm probably done doing this. And that's where I realized it wasn't for him, it was for me, because the next morning as I'm getting ready to go to the office, I was literally in the shower and had this aha moment that thought, no, dummy, this is exactly when you need to continue to do this. When no one remembers, right? That's what you do to maintain and create a memory and a legacy for somebody, is do it when no one else even knows what's happening. So at that moment, I'm like, I'm going to keep doing this till nobody knows what I'm talking about. Like, no one even knew there were a Hayes Market. And I'm going to try to have my son. I've got my nephew involved. I know Will's been coming to the auctions. We're going to keep doing that. I'm going to set up a fund so that we always have the money to buy an animal at the Monroe County Fairgrounds in the memory of Jim Hayes, my great-grandfather, founder of Hayes Market. So when you think about creating a name that stands for something, you can do that in a lot of ways. You don't have to go to the fairgrounds and buy an animal. The reason that makes sense is because my great-grandfather was one of the founders of the 4-H auction at the Monroe County Fairgrounds. Hmm. You know, he used to buy the Grand Champion steer every year. He was very involved with that. So it makes sense for me to do it there. Sure. But there's a lot of ways and a lot of gifts that you can give people. And he gave me the gift of a good name, something that stood for something. And a legacy of goodness, kindness, and generosity that I continue to try to, my dad does, I try to, we all try to maintain that same mindset so that we can pass that on to our next generation. So it's not always about money, but there are things that you can do that can create a tremendous legacy, whether it's giving money to a charity in someone's name or doing something, you know, whatever it might be. But Doug, I know you're at the same mindset that I am.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we think about legacy planning, it's... sometimes it only goes, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with this. Sometimes it just goes to family. But we always encourage people to think big picture when you think of legacy planning. To think, you know, again, I go back to them and or us and them. Like, what do we want to leave for the family? And then who are others out there that we want to make sure that we have built this legacy and left something to? It can be as much as buying the Grand Steer or the Grand Champion Steer every year, to as much as having a name on a building or something of that nature, or a philanthropic gift every year that you see pop up on a screen to remind people at any number of organizations that have needed money during the year that you were involved, and there's a continuous flow of revenue towards that particular organization, no matter, you know, what they're standing for. So there's numbers of ways to do it. We always encourage people, of course, take care of home, but at the same time, don't limit your legacy to home. Make the legacy as big as it can be.
And we've all received cards in the mail that said,
sure,
hey, a donation in your honor was given to this particular organization.
Yes.
It could be,
yes,
you know, to dig wells in a third world country. It could be to support Bible distribution around the world or support some kind of a mission, mm-hmm, that's important to that particular person. Maybe it's sponsoring a family in your backyard to buy some Christmas gifts for.
Exactly.
Maybe,
yeah,
it's, you know, I'm on the Boys and Girls Club board, so, You know, we basically have an Our Kids campaign where you can sponsor a child to be able to go to the club all year. And Doug, you've done that, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
That could be something you could do for someone. So there's so many things that you could do, because I know we always are like, what do I get this person? They have everything, you know? Or if they need it, they just go get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we struggle with that, you know, in my household, right?
Sure.
Because I mean, if I needed one a grill, I'll probably get one throughout the year. But I usually hold back this time of year and said, hey, I told her, if you buy me a Blackstone, and which is a griddle, you know, grill okay. for outside, and 4 packets of car washes from Crew, we'll call it a day. That's it.
There
I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
And we're too old to need, I don't need surprised anymore, right? I'm just hoping
they're nice. Yeah.
Well,
I understand what you're saying, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, I mean, my wife kind of has her own rat hole that she uses sometimes, but I do get to see the credit card bill in January, so I know what things cost.
Absolutely.
Anyway, and I just don't, it is what it is, right? We all are kind of in that same boat for the most part, but that's a good segment. I appreciate you being here, Doug, for that.
Absolutely.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and wrap this dog show up. This is Your Money, Yes Sir, with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that everyone's having a wonderful time. Again, if you want a copy of The Home Stretch, the 7 things you need to do in the decade before you retire, let us know. We'll send that to you in a PDF. Again, cfci.us. It's our website. You can just look it up that way. And then also some other things that we talked about. If you wanted a copy of our outline for today's program, you're welcome to see the kind of books that we wrote down, the publications we wrote down, just some of the ideas that we wrote down. We'll send you that as well at cfci.us. I was thinking about my final comment last week on the home stretch, the 7 things you need to do to retire. You know, you probably remember I had this goofy YouTube channel. I don't know the password for it anymore, so I haven't put anything up for like 2 years. But I did a 2-part segment on can money buy happiness?
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to it can't buy happiness. It cannot buy fulfillment, but it can buy things that make your life happy. Kind of more pleasurable. That was the theme, and I went through a 2-part series. But last week, we kind of finished with, retirement is wonderful if you have 2 essentials, much to live on and much to live for.
That's right.
And that's kind of been the theme of today's program, right? That mm-hmm. It's not things, but it's what you're doing it for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the bottom line. So, Doug, just a minute or two left in today's program.
Listen, we just want to encourage everyone, if they're in the middle of this Medicare thing, to give our office a call and talk to Josh.
We're in the final stretch of that for sure.
Final stretch. We're at the very end.
He has been busy helping people. Haven't had him on the last 2 weeks because, honestly, he's been in appointments. But if you'd like to ask a question, there's certainly
complimentary consultation.
Yeah, he's there to help. CFCI.us, go to Josh Norris. Just contact him directly, and he'll reach out.
Real quick, David, your favorite Thanksgiving dish. Is it the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the cranberries, the sweet potatoes, the rolls, the green beans? What is your favorite one?
So I'm going to give you a post item.
Okay.
Which is my turkey salad.
Once
it's done, the turkey salad. So I basically use a version of the Hayes Market ham salad, mm-hmm. which is famous here locally, but I use turkey.
Okay.
But a lot of the same ingredients go into it. And I don't know. It's one of those things that the people that I distribute it to every year.
I've been a participant.
You've been a participant.
It's quite good.
So that's my favorite. But, you know, as far as eating, you know, we kind of cheat on mashed potatoes now. We buy the Bob Evans ones and we heat them up in the microwave and put them in a big pot and put butter in it and stuff. Those are delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the mashed potatoes with gravy. You know, I'm kind of a dark meat guy, mm-hmm. so I sort of lean that way with my turkey. We're going to deep fry one this year.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't done that for a few years. That'll be a lot of fun. Pie-wise, my wife makes an incredible pecan pie.
Awesome.
So that's her mom's recipe, which that's kind of a funny story because she thought it was her mom's recipe. And come to find out 20 years later that it was actually on the Cairo syrup label on the back of it. She thought it was some family secret. And one day she was like, oh my gosh, this is my mom's recipe.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything has to come from someplace, right?
That's right.
All right. Let's take the long break. I hope everyone has a great, great weekend. And man, Hoosiers, please, after that victory you had last week at Michigan State, please, please go out and play hard and beat Purdue, and let's keep that bucket right here in Bloomington where it belongs. All right, have a good one, everyone. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.